Cut out opening the sutra.
The Dharma incomparably profound and infinitely subtle is rarely encountered even in millions of ages. Now we see it, hear it, receive and maintain it. May we completely realize the Tathagata's true meaning.
Nice to see so many people here, even though half of the sangha is on vacation. You got back.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't go anywhere, did I? I'm going next week.
Next week, I thought you were turning. Nice to have Tony. Tony Holden is here, those of you who don't know him. Tony teaches in Texas. And every now and then he writes a poem or two.
It's great to be here, Steph. Thank you.
Nice to have you.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk about the Blue Cliff Record number 28. It also appears in the Mumon Khan. Nanchuan's truth that has never been spoken. And the Mumon Khan is called "It Is Not Mind or Buddha." So there are two versions of this koan. First, the Mumon Khan, the shorter version, then the Kato Shu version, which is similar to the version in the Blue Cliff Record. In the Wuang Quan version, Nanchuan takes the lead and is the master. In the Blue Cliff Record, Nanchuan calls Bai Chan the master and does not have the lead, even though, as in both cases, he's asked a question. The questioner in the longer version, the Blue Cliff, is Bai Chan. Bai Chan is a Dharma heir of the famous Bai Chan Hua Hai, who was looking for a fox. He's also the older Dharma brother of Nanchuan, to whom he is speaking. I assume he's senior to Nanchuan, since Nanchuan calls him master. So, the Mumon Khan version. A monk asked Master Nanchuan, "Is there a truth not spoken to people?" Nanchuan said, "There is." The monk asked, "What is the truth not spoken to people?" Nanchuan said, "It is not mind, it is not Buddha, it is not a thing." Wuman, who makes the commentary in the Wuman Quan, says, confronted with the question, Nanchuan could only put forth all he had. He was quite a dotard. Verse, meticulous instruction diminishes your virtue. The unspoken truly has effect. Even if the oceans transmute, it's never conveyed to you. And now I want to give you the koan as Tom Kirshner has it in the Kato Shu. This is case 202. Bai Chan asks Nanchuan Puan, "Is there a Dharma that enlightened teachers everywhere have never expressed to people?" Nanchuan says, "There is." Bai Chan said, "What is it?" Nanchuan answered, "Not mind, not Buddha, not things." Bai Chan says, "You've just expressed it." Nanchuan said, "That's the way I see it. How about you?" Bai Chan says, "I'm not an enlightened teacher. How could I know whether there's a Dharma that has or hasn't been expressed?" Nanchuan said, "I don't understand. Please, Master, explain." Bai Chan says, "I've already explained more than enough." Reflections. I think the heart of this koan is about the truth, dharma, or teaching that they didn't tell you about. And it brings me to other wonderful stories. The first is koan number 32 in the Wu Mang Quan, on non-Buddhist questions to Buddha. Here it is. A non-Buddhist once asked the world-honored one, "I do not ask for words, nor do I ask for no words." The world-honored one remained seated. The non-Buddhist praised him, saying, "The great compassion of the world-honored one has dispelled the clouds of my ignorance and enabled me to be enlightened." There's more to this koan, by the way, but I'll stop. I'll stop here, because this is the part that relates to the whole koan. The second situation occurs in the Vimalakirti Nidesa Sutra from the translation by Robert Thurman. The scene is the sick room of Vimalakirti. Manjushri, together with a group of bodhisattvas, have all reluctantly come to visit the sick layman. They were forced to come at the insistence of Shakyamuni. They didn't want to go because every time they meet Vimalakirti, he has a habit of uncovering their ignorance. And they are the so-called arahats, Shariputra, Ananda, and all the chief disciples of Shakyamuni. In chapter 9, Vimalakirti, he was a layman, by the way, not a priest. And he lived in a small hut, almost as big as your hut. Huh? Not quite as
big. The
new one or the old one? The new one. Not quite. Vimalakirti asked each of the bodhisattvas to express the nature of the non-dual dharma, or the truth, or the absolute, free from all dualities, relativities, and contrariness. Each does so and makes a magnificent presentation. Finally, it's Manjushri's turn, and he says, "Good sons, you have all spoken well. Nevertheless, all your explanations are dualistic. To know no one teaching, to express nothing, to say nothing, to explain nothing, to announce nothing, to indicate nothing, and to designate nothing, that is the entrance into non-duality." Then the crown prince said to Vimalakirti, "We've all given our own teachings, noble sir. Now may you elucidate the teaching of the entrance into the principle of non-duality." Thereupon Vimalakirti kept his silence, saying nothing at all. The crown prince Manjushri applauded Vimalakirti. "Excellent, excellent, noble sir. This is indeed the entrance into the non-duality of the bodhisattva. Here, there is no use for syllables, sounds, and ideas." Then we have the oft-quoted statement of Shakyamuni himself, who, after teaching for 40 years, summed it all up saying, "I never said anything and gave no teachings." This is beautifully expressed in a flame poem he transmitted to Mahakashapa. Flame poems are poems that a master would write upon the transmission of his student. And the poem that he wrote and gave to Mahakashapa is, "The original Dharma of all Dharmas is no Dharma. The Dharma of no Dharma is also a Dharma. Now when no Dharma is transmitted, how can this Dharma be the Dharma? You get it? You want to hear it again? The original Dharma of all Dharmas is no Dharma. The Dharma of no Dharma is also a Dharma. Now when no Dharma is transmitted, how can this Dharma be the Dharma? With all of this background, for me the koan comes to life. So now let's have a careful reading of the koan. A monk asked Master Nanchuan, is there a truth not spoken to people? Are we talking about an unspoken truth or a hidden truth? Are we talking about noble silence? The silences of Shakyamuni and Vimalakirti? Nanchuan says, there is. There is. How could something that is not there be there? This reminds me of the wonderful quote of Gertrude Stein. After she returned from a visit to California, she was asked what she thought about Los Angeles. She said, there is no there there. So the monk asked, what is the truth not spoken to people? If it's not spoken, how can you say there is a non-spoken truth? Are we back to silence? Is silence a something or a nothing? Can you point to silence? Can you hold silence in your hand? Can you hear silence? Is there a there in silence? Is there a there in Nanchuan's there is? If so, where is it? Uh-oh. Here we go again with it. Nanchuan said, it is not mine, it is not Buddha, it is not a thing. Notice, the first word of each crucial phrase, it is not mine, it is not Buddha, it is not a thing. So, what is it? We have an answer similar to the answer of Manjushri. To know no one teaching, to express nothing, to say nothing, to explain nothing, to announce nothing, to indicate nothing, and to designate nothing. That's the answer into non-duality. So Nanchuan comes up short. What missing are the noble silences of Shakyamuni and Vimalakirti? This is clearly expressed by the continued colloquy. Baitsang says, but you've just expressed it. That's the way I see it. How about you? I'm not an enlightened teacher. How can I know whether there's a Dharma that has or hasn't been express. Do I detect a note of irony? Nanchuan said, I don't understand. Please, Master, explain. I've already explained more than enough. Yep, irony. Is Baizhang saying that by opening his mouth the truth that has or has not been expressed is lost? So we come again to noble silence. Baitsang asks Nanchuan Puyan, is there a Dharma that enlightened teachers everywhere have never expressed to people? There is. What is it? Not mind, not Buddha, not things. You've just expressed it. That's the way I see it. How about you? I'm not an enlightened teacher. How can I know whether there's a Dharma that has or hasn't been expressed? I don't understand. Please, Master, explain. I've already explained more than enough. If there are any questions or rebuttals, I will cheerfully pass them on to Margaret and Peter.
This reminds me of a question that I thought of a few times. It's, how do you express what is always being expressed? And that just befuddles me.
How do you do it?
A smile? He actually said it twice, I don't know, but he said it so softly, even Rosie was having a hard time hearing it.
Anybody want to take a stab at Kyle's question? Peter?
Well, how can you help expressing what's always being expressed?
You can see that question in two ways. In other words, how can you help, as in there's no other way, or okay, how can you help?
Thank you for helping out my question.
What is always being expressed?
That's a good question.
Well, what were you talking about?
I don't know. Just come up for it. I just thought about it.
Express between people or express between you and the universe or you and nature? Or
it seems like no matter what you say, if you're describing whatever it is, it's right there, it's right then, no matter what you say. So
why bother saying it? Is that what you say?
No.
Why bother thinking it?
Is that the difference between the Bodhisattva and the Buddha?
I don't know.
Isn't it the groundlessness of being that needs to be recognized, or that is to be recognized?
Can you say your first question again?
How do you express what is always being expressed?
I have a question for Tony. How do you see groundlessness?
Oh, me too.
Well, what's the short answer? Well, sitting here with you, it is once again remarkable to me the way, and listening to Steph's talk, the way that words make a form, you know, that allows us to enter more deeply. The structure, it's like words take us up to the cliff and here's what's beyond the cliff, or words make a frame and we are allowed to be inside the frame if we can be. So that's once again remarkable to me. Because right now when I came in to this room, the silence was this deep, and now the silence is this deep.
I have a, as you know, a habit of reading a poem to finish the session, and when I so Tony, I said, Tony, this is what I usually do, but since you're here, you're going to do it.
I'd be happy to. So this is the poem. It's by W.S. Merwin. It's called Teachers. And this is a translation from the American. P. pain is in this room. Like the many speakers of an expensive stereo. It is the new year. A bird flies against the drum. The record turning and the needle in the groove. Who I love, I cannot go to. What I hope for is always divided. What I live for, I can rarely believe in. But I say to myself, if the night is long, remember your own importance. You are not a child. Sleep. Then, towards morning, I dream of voyages, fresh beginnings that did not begin by justifying.
Creations are numberless, I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless, I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. Creations are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. Creations are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable. I vow